This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Barry Bluestone is a regular in our studio. He's the founding director of the Dukakis Center and a professor of political economy at Northeastern University. And normally, we talk to Barry about housing and inequality. But today, we're going to discuss a comment that he made on January 31st during a public event at Northeastern. The event was called The Rule of Law in a Time of Polarization. Now, there's a video of this event, but it has been taken offline by Northeastern because of the outcry it caused. So we can't play the video for you. But here is what Barry Bluestone said. He said, quote, "Sometimes I want to just see Trump impeached. Other times, quite honestly, I hope there are no FBI agents here. I wouldn't mind seeing him dead." Well, Professor Bluestone joins me now to talk about this. And Barry, before we get started, I just want to reiterate, I mean, you know that I am a very strong supporter of a person's First Amendment right to say just about anything they want. But Barry, in this case, just tell me, what were you thinking?
First of all, I want to apologize. That was not what I meant to say. I'm a person of nonviolence. I'm a Gandhian. And it slipped out. I was just at the end of a two-hour lecture in response to a rather harsh question. But what I was trying to say is that I now find this president to be such a danger to the country that we need people standing up and reacting and protesting, not unlike we did in the 1960s about the war, about civil rights. I don't want to see him dead. I would like to see him out of the White House. But what I was trying to say is this is the most dangerous president we've ever had. He's a danger to our democracy. He's a danger to the Constitution. He now wants to have a military parade showing off our weaponry, which reminds me of Hitler's Germany or Stalin's Soviet Union. He has had racist comments about Muslims and people who are poor. This person should not remain in the White House, and we should continue to protest it in peaceful ways.
So, Barry, I get all that, but I just still want to understand, because I wasn't there. I mean, at that moment, what was going through your mind? Because, you know, by some readings of the law, even uttering those words is a dangerous thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it slipped out after a two-hour lecture in which I had—
About polarization?
About polarization. And the question came from a very conservative person who was supporting Trump.
What was the question?
And this slipped out. The question was, you know, what do you think should be done? What's the path forward? And I said, we have to have protests. We have to move. And then, you know, it just slipped out. I said, you know, many times I want to see him impeached. And I said, sometimes in my heart, I think was the word I use, you know, I just want him dead. And that was unfortunate.
But this is the thing, Barry. This is the thing. Look. It was a lecture about polarization.
Right.
And we are such a hypersensitive society right now that's exactly words like that that further polarize the country.
Absolutely. And that's
You're
why.
You're a smart guy. I mean,
I was tired at the end of a two-hour lecture. I let my spirited talk come out ahead of my mind. It was a mistake because it added to polarization. I've seen it in the emails I've gotten. And I've gotten people who have been supporting me right and left coming to my defense, and I've had death threats from others. It was misconstrued by many, but the wording was certainly inappropriate, wrong, and I've apologized over and over again for it. I wish I had not said it, but I do want to, at the same time, be as strong as possible in beginning to lead people toward a stronger movement to oppose this president. I wish universities had stood up against Adolf Hitler in 1935.
Are you equating...
To some extent,
I think... Are you doing that? Are you equating the two?
I think there is that this president comes closer to a plutocratic fascist, I called him. And I used it by using the definition of Merriam-Webster. You know, a fascist is an autocrat who uses lies and converts people into angry mobs. Mm. That is what he has done.
Is a university the right place to do this, though, Barry? Because you were on the campus of Northeastern. And, I mean, you know that the group that actually first put your comments into the public eye is a conservative
right.
news website, Campus Reform,
mm-hmm.
Which claims to track, quote, liberal bias and abuse on America's campuses. I mean, are you making their point for them?
As a matter of fact, Campus Reform is where this first showed up. And they have been fairer and more honest in the coverage of this than anyone else. In their headline, he says, at a public event on the rule of law in the time of polarization, a Northeastern University professor told the audience that he wouldn't mind seeing President Trump dead. Barry Bluestone told Campus Reform that while he wants people to rise up and oppose Trump, he did not intend to advocate acts of violence against the president. And then they went on to explain my real position, which was this is a president who is quite dangerous.
Have there been any ramifications or discussions from Northeastern with you about what you said?
I have not heard a word from the Northeastern administration. I would have liked Northeastern to call me as soon as this came up. That is not what they did.
I mean, because I guess my question was coming from a slightly different angle, that members of the conservative media have been speculating that if a professor, particularly one of your stature, had said something similar about President Obama, that person would have been fired immediately.
I hope not. I mean, one of the things we stand for on university campuses is freedom of speech. I realize that this was not the best use of freedom of speech, but I would hope that the university, above all, will be a place where all kinds of ideas can be put forward. And the fact that I got so many notes, emails, calls from faculty, from other students, from former students of mine saying, yes, I'm sorry I used that word, but yes, we need people like you standing up and raising these issues. If not on campus, where will this occur? When we go back and we look at the anti-war movement that stopped the war in Vietnam, it began on the campuses. It began at Berkeley. It began in Michigan, where I was. It began at Harvard, at Columbia. I would love to see our campuses more active in opposing this president.
You know what galls me about this, Barry? We're living in a time where literally anything and everything that a person dares say, in public or private, runs the risk of being wildly amplified in seconds. That is a hard climate in which to have any kind of civil discourse. And if people hear me feeling angry right now, I do feel angry about that. Especially since, look, I'm trying to be a forgiving person. We know each other. I'm going to grant that you had a human moment and that you regret that you said what you said.
Absolutely.
I grant that. But what galls me is that part of the problem is that we have a president of the United States right now who says similar things all the time with no repercussion whatsoever. I mean, right? He has been, you know, we heard him during the campaign advocating so-called Second Amendment solutions. We heard him talk about wishing that we could go back to the good old days and carry protesters out of campaign meetings in stretchers. No one seemed to mind that. So I don't get what's happening to America.
Yes. Well,
are we supposed to forgive it all? And if I'm supposed to forgive the president, I guess that's why I forgive you. Or should I forgive neither of you for becoming so extreme?
I don't think you should forgive either one of us for becoming so extreme. It was my error. I will not repeat that error. Unfortunately, I believe the president of the United States will continue to repeat those kinds of errors. You know, there is a division in this country greater than any time I can recall in my life. And I've been active in political movements. I've been active in student movements all my life. I can't recall another time where I've been so worried about our great country. I can't remember a number of times where I've been worried about our democracy.
That's a view. That's your view. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm also thinking about we can't, as Americans, talk with each other anymore.
Yes.
Because we're all afraid, right? And I'm not saying that, like, I can't have conversations with my friends on the right because I'm concerned that they're going to think I'm being unfair to the president. I mean, I'm also similarly concerned about having conversations with my friends on the left for fear that I might say something that would cause offense there. It's broken. And, you know, short of keeping on talking, I'm not sure what we do about it.
Meghna, one reason why I love WBUR and NPR is it is one of the few voices in the country that is trying to rein this in.
No, we can't pat ourselves on the back here, Barry.
No.
I'm not going to do that. Because
no, but I'm saying
you know,
that is true. That is part of the reason
I'm here
so often.
I wasn't searching for compliments.
No, I'm not making a compliment of you. I'm saying unlike, you know, the proliferation of Fox on one side and MSNBC on another side that just polarizes. Our problem is today we have so many news outlets that everyone tunes in to that outlet which reinforces their worst bias. Now, that's the problem.
Okay, so if we're going to try and keep talking with each other, you know, I'm wondering about that conservative student who asked that question of you that eventually led to your response. I mean, is there any possibility that you might talk with that person again?
I hope to, and I was so thrilled to talk with Sandra Farkas, the guy who wrote for Campus Reform. Last night, I got a very hate-filled email late last night.
You said you've been getting death threats, too.
Well, this wasn't a death threat, but it was close to it,
yeah.
With a phone number. I called the guy back. We talked for an hour last night. And by the end, we both agreed on a lot of things. I apologize for the use of the word, but he also... you know, he was as upset about Obama as I was upset about Trump. But we agreed to have a conversation, and at the end, he thanked me for calling him. I thanked him for talking with me. We need more conversations like that.
Were you nervous?
No, not at all. Because by the middle of the conversation, he realized that I was being honest with him. And then we got talking about politics, and he agreed that... You know, he supports Trump's policies on jobs and some other things, but he just is so disgusted by some of the things he said, which he thought were un-American, quote unquote. We need to have civil discourse, and the university has to be a place where civil discourse takes place all the time. The fact of the matter is 99% of that two-hour video needs to be seen. The university took it down because of one word. We could have deleted that sentence, or we could have done what was proposed to me by the director of the Open Classroom to provide this morning with a video clip explaining my apology and asking for forgiveness for this mindless comment I made.
You know, Barry, I'm very heartened to hear about your phone conversation with that gentleman. Very heartened. But my last question. I mean, you say the university must be a place where we can have civil discourse. And they took this video down for fear of, you know, criticism or offending others, perhaps offending, I don't know, conservative folks.
Or donors.
But, I mean, look, to be perfectly fair, there have been many people for a long time who have felt that the university has stopped being a place of civil discourse for years, you know, because students are protesting against people they don't like. I mean, this is a different subject altogether, but I think the horse may have left the barn on that one.
Yeah. But I support conservative groups on campus that are raising issues. But I have always, in the courses I'm teaching, I tell my students that there are four things I want you to learn in my classes in reverse order of importance, the least important but not unimportant facts, then theories. And then by the end of the course, I hope you'll begin to help develop your own personal view, worldview. But most important of all, I say, at the end of this course, I want you to be a skeptic, a healthy skeptic. And that is, never take anything on face value.
Never surrender your capacity for independent thought.
Exactly. And I think that's important for the university. So, you know, they took down the video. I wish they hadn't. We need university administrations that will stand up and say, we oppose Bluestone's words, but now we have understood what Bluestone meant and his apology. Now let's have a discourse over where is this country going and how do we change it? And how do we reduce the polarization? How do we have civil discourse so that we can meet our challenges out of a sense of shared commitment as opposed to hate?
Well, Barry Bluestone is the founding director of the Dukakis Center and a professor of political economy at Northeastern University. We've been talking about his comments that he made a couple of days ago about President Trump and about the bigger picture of civil discourse in America. Barry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I just got a tweet here from Shava Narad who says I was badgering the witness. I was badgering Barry Bluestone. And maybe there are more of you out there who think I was too hard on him. But please know that nobody gets a purely puffy softball interview here, even if they're friends of the show. And I would add that we can all learn a lot from how Barry is handling this. Instead of hiding or denying his comments, he's talking to people. He's giving lots of interviews. He's furthering the conversation. And we could use more of that. So send me your tweets. I'm at MegnaWBUR and let it rip.